and welcome to the Green Guy and Jim radio show with your host, Cleo. And tonight's guest will be Shemp. And if anybody doesn't know who Shemp is, he runs Shrimp TGP. And let's get him on the phone. Dialing.
Hi, it's Rob.
Hey, Rob. It's Cleo.
Oh, hi, Cleo. How are you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Oh, good. Hi, everyone. I've been waiting around for your call. I thought maybe, I wasn't sure if you were going to be here. I was going to be here today. You know, either one of us could take sick at any time. So.
Well, no emergency rooms today, hopefully, for either of us.
I'm glad to hear that. Before we talk about me, how are you doing? You okay? How's your foot? How's your leg?
My leg's good. No more blood clots. I take rat poison every morning and inject pig intestine mucus. So.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good. Jesus, that was terrible.
Yeah, last Wednesday was not the way I intended to start the day.
Well, it's good to have you back anyway. We're all kind of worried about you there. You never know. You know, you go to the hospital, you never know what's going to happen to you. I went in for 2 days one time. I didn't get out for damn near 2 years. It was not good, you know.
Well, you had leukemia, didn't you?
I had leukemia, yeah. And then it was a lot worse than they thought, and so then I had to get a bone marrow stem cell transplant, and they couldn't find a donor, so I had to wait damn near a year while they found a donor that matched me, and they found some guy in East Germany, and by the time I got my my bone marrow, I was about dead, that was nasty, but that was like 10 years ago, but I mean, I got through it, but it was tough. I tell you, I still have some repercussions from it. It never did work 100%, but I guess I'm lucky to be alive, so I shouldn't complain too much. You know?
Yeah, that sounds much more serious than the blood clot in my leg.
Well, just, you know, you get messing around with, leukemia is blood cancer, so you get cancer in your blood and it's pumping through your system, it is everywhere. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many spinal taps I had, how many needles in the spine, how many, I had like 400 blood transfusions over a period of 18 months, and platelets, and bags of blood. Who knows where all that blood came from, I'll tell you. But the cool thing about it is that my blood type when I went in was an O, and when I came out it was a B. So, I mean...
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's crazy.
What do they do? They irradiate you and kill your bone marrow?
Exactly. Exactly. When you get a transplant from an unrelated donor, in other words, not a relative or a twin or anything, your body can't accept it. So what they have to do, they have to destroy your bone marrow completely, 100% destroy it, using radiation and chemotherapy until you have no bone marrow left. Therefore, you're basically you will die. You'll die if the transplant doesn't work. You're going to die because you can't make any more blood. Your body cannot produce blood because your bone marrow has been destroyed. So therefore, after that, then you induce you with the new stem cells from the donor, and everybody keeps their fingers crossed and hopes that works and that it develops new blood for you.
That is amazing.
It is amazing technology. When I went in, there were three people went in with me. One was two girls and myself. I was by far the oldest. I was just around 50 when I got mine done. There was another girl in her late 20s and another girl around 21, and they're all getting transplants. And the one that was in her late 20s, she did really well. She took off. 6 weeks, she was ready to drain and took off and never looked back. I was kind of in between. It took me a long time for my body to come around and accept that stuff, and I had so many side effects. The other girl, 21, she died. She never made it.
Wow.
They gave her in back to her donor and got another shot of cells, and she just didn't make it. She never came out of the hospital, and that was very sad because at her age she should have been the one that made it, and she didn't. So it was always I lost a lot of friends. You know, I was in there in the hospital in and out for the better part of 2 years. And quite a few people don't make it. It's pretty sad. You know, you're all hoping that they have the answer for you, and you know, for some of us. it worked out really well, and for others not so well. So, you know, it was a life-changing experience, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's there was a new technology they used on me. They say micro instruments, like a roto-rooter, and they went into my arteries and rooted out my artery. That's amazing. But
it is, and you know, in the hospital, you know, I always say, you know, hospital is the best place to be when you're sick. I mean, you know, when you're right out of it, you know, you can't fix yourself at home like you can at the hospital. I know, of course, you know. You guys got to pay so much to go to here where I live. It's not so bad, you know. I mean, I had a $1 million operation costing the price of a parking ticket. You know, I mean.
I can't even begin to imagine what the more copays I'm going to be getting.
Oh yeah, I know. It's you know, I worked in the U.S. for quite a few years, and you know, I remember the guys down there. And the I was an engineer, and I used to go down and redo some of our factories and our warehouses down there. And, I was based out of Vancouver, but I worked all over, and we had a lot of plants and depots in the U.S. And the one thing that always got me was that the cost of an employee, the Canadian workers made less per hour, but the American workers, you know, their medical expenses that the company was paying was absolutely off the hook. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was like a major source of a major deduction for the company. I mean, it was huge. People were literally working here just because they had a good medical program, not a good medical plan, not because the job was good or it was a great place to work, because it wasn't. They were there, and they were staying there just because they had medical, which to me was unheard of. I'd never seen that before. It took me quite a while to get used to that, you know.
It's what I do. I keep a position at another company just for my medical benefits.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But, you know, I mean, as we get older with an aging population, it's going to hit everybody sooner or later. If it doesn't hit you, it's going to hit one of your relatives. So, I was healthy my whole life for 49 years, and then one day I woke up in the morning, and my whole life changed. And I hadn't, to this day, no one knows why that happened. I mean, it was, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I have a pretty clean lifestyle. I was reasonably fit, eat well, all those good things. But you know, sometimes that cancer, you just can't. There's no rhyme or reason to it, you know, and other things as well, you know.
What was your symptoms?
It was in the spring, I remember that, and I was kind of short of breath. I thought I was getting asthma, you know, because I do have asthma. And I thought I was getting asthma in April, May, June, allergy season. I was kind of, you know, kind of short of breath and kind of weak and tired, which wasn't uncommon. And then I woke up one morning, and I had a bunch of bruises. Overnight, it developed on my arms. Big black welts. It looked like somebody beat the crap out of me when I was sleeping. And then I got up and went to the breakfast table, and my son was there. He was about, I don't know, 10 or 11 at the time. He said, "Dad, your eye's bleeding." I said, "What?" And here I had blood pouring coming out of one of my eyes. And I was hemorrhaging right out of my eyeballs. And I thought, you know, well, this is not good. This is an asthma, you know. So I went down to the clinic, and the doctor took one look at me, and he said, "Well, I don't like the look of this." He sent me for blood work, and by that afternoon, they knew I had cancer. I had some kind of blood issues, and then later that night I went to the big hospital in the city, and they had a room waiting for me. I walked in the emerge, and I'm going up. I checked myself in. I drove in, you know, because I was still driving. I didn't feel that bad. I mean, I'm a little short of breath. So I drove in. I get to the hospital, and they say they assign me in and give me a room and a floor to go. So I go. The elevator here, I got out of the elevator, and here, big sign in front of me, leukemia and bone marrow transplant unit. I'm going, well, I guess I got leukemia. And that was it. From that day forth, a nurse grabbed a hold of me and gave me a private room, and we started working on it. I got chemo the next day, and then all the results started coming in, and it was worse than they thought. It was worse than I thought. I thought I was going in for a few days for some tests, and like I say, I think the first time I was in there for a couple of months, and that was the first dose of chemotherapy. Then the fun began, looking for a somebody that matched me close enough to I could get bone marrow out of. And of course, I checked everybody in my family. Nobody matched. So because my mom and my dad were from Europe, they started to scour in Europe and for people on the registry, on the bone marrow registry list. And sure enough, sooner or later, they found a guy, say in East Germany, a young fellow. He was only 25 years old, so I got some good quality bone marrow off him, and that was that. You know.
Wow. That's you seem healthy. I mean, I met you in Vegas. I don't know if you remember me. And when you look good, healthy.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty healthy. You know, I lost a lot of weight. I couldn't eat. One of the nasty things of being irradiated with total body irradiation is that they take you in what they call the cold ball room. You get this big, they strip you down. You're completely nude there, and you lie on a mattress. And for 3 days, you're in there. 25 minutes in the morning and 25 minutes at night, and it's really quite eerie. They got a mattress on the floor there, and they play some kind of symphony music, kind of something out of Nazi Germany, you know. And there's this big wand, they call the cobalt wand, and it's a radioactive piece of cobalt, and it waves over top of your body like a metronome, back and forth, very slowly, back and forth, killing your bone marrow, right? And you've got a piece of some kind of foil, some kind of tin over your heart, and a little bit over your lung, and pretty much that's it. The rest of you all gets irradiated completely, or from your toes right to your freaking brain. And you're sitting in there three times a day, and back and forth, and this radioactive wand's going over top of you, just ripping. Of course, you don't feel anything being radiation, other than you're sick afterwards, but I mean, you know, there's no physical part of it. But after that, my God, you can't eat. I mean, your whole insides are just cooked, right? I couldn't eat solid food for over a year. I had no taste for 2 years. But by the time I saw you guys in Vegas, I was through that, and I think I lost about 80 pounds. Because I was about 160 for a while, and I'm normally about 230. So before I went in, so I was down about 158 pounds, and gradually over the years, I put it back on and got some strength back, but. You know, still nothing like it used to be. My total energy back, my total strength back. But I mean, I guess, you know, they told me it'd be the toughest thing you ever do in your life, you know, and they were right. It was, you know. Chemotherapy's a bitch, too. Anybody that ever had radical chemotherapy will tell you it's not something that's good for you. I mean, I have no immune system, so I'm prone to everything. I mean, if I get a cold, it's like the flu. If I get a flu, it's like pneumonia, right? A cold with me will last 3 or 4 months, right? I get cold sores, mouth sores. I have no fingernails. I have no toenails. I mean,
what do you mean you have no fingernails? You just have skin there?
Yeah. They don't get hard. They just get soft and peel off, right? It's very weird, but that's what the radiation did. I mean, it took my fingernails out, my toenails out, so I can't grow fingernails or toenails very well. They grew a little bit, very soft, you know, and then just kind of stay there, and then they kind of, you know, just be doing some work in the car around the house, they'll just peel off and then go back again. But goofy, just goofy crap, you know, stupid stuff, you know, stuff that I never had before. Never in my life did I have any phobias or anything, but after my bone marrow transplant, I was afraid to go through tunnels. There was a tunnel between where I live and the city, you know, like under the river, and it's like a six-lane freeway, right? So you go underneath this tunnel, and, you know, I've been through it a million times. After my transplant, I can't go through this tunnel, right? It took me 5 years to get over that. I actually picked up the phobias from the guy that gave me the bone marrow.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. People don't believe me. My doctor says I'm nuts. I'm telling you, doc. I told the doc. I said, this is the real deal, guy. I'm telling you, I picked up stuff. Like my hair changed, my things I like to eat changed, right? Like some things that I used to really enjoy that I don't even care. I never ate candy or sweets. Now I can rock back 6 O'Henry bars. You know, it's the craziest thing. You know, and I used to be able to climb a roof or go through a tunnel or. No, I'm not real fussy about height, and I'm sure so not fussy about tunnels anymore. And, but I'd love to meet my donor, because I'd like to find out if he had that. I suspect he did, because that's the only explanation for it. You know, just crazy.
Did you keep in running your TGP the whole time you were going through all this?
I did, but I didn't. I didn't do the daily work. Mike and Brian, who used to be with a company called the X3 Scripts and later became PartnerSoft staff, they actually did the daily updates for me. I was on the I had my laptop with me even those days, and I was, you know, just kind of picking around, maybe review the odd gallery. But no, I took almost 18 months off from the day-to-day running. Those guys did great for me, and you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. They never, even though I don't think Brian's even in the business anymore, Mike's still around, but you know, they did it for free. They wouldn't take any money off me, and you know, I'm sure they got a few galleries on there periodically. But I mean, big deal. It was well worth it to me. But that was just at the time. That was a bad time too, because that's just when the site was. It was already doing so well, and I never really got the growth that I should have between 2000 and when I got back in the saddle in almost 2002. You know, I the trades were pretty much stagnant, and you know, yeah, it had new galleries on it daily, but we didn't do much to be able to grow the site like it should have. And those were the prime years. I came out of there. I think we peaked at somewhere about 450,000 uniques a day, I think, in those days, you know. So we did have a fair bit of traffic, certainly not Hun Lake or WorldSex, but, you know, very, very good. I mean, certainly more than enough to make a really good living out of that in those days. But I always thought I should have been up to around a million mark, you know. But, hey.
your TGP still has a lot of traffic.
That's good traffic, yeah.
Yeah, that's good traffic. It converts.
It converts, yeah, it does. It's one of the, you know, and we spent a lot of time on it, and when I first started, too, and it's funny, you know, people think I've been around for 100 years. I wasn't early in the TGP game at all. To me, I was late in the TGP game. I was an engineer, and I wanted to get in a couple of years before I did, and I had a big contract in the States I had to fulfill, and, you know, it took a lot of my time. So I really didn't really, I played around on the adult internet, 97. I really didn't get set into it until early 98, and I didn't start Shemp until November 98. And I remember I talked to Al Foray, you know, Al4A.com, and mm-hmm. a good friend of mine, and I told him, I said, I'm going to start a TGP, and he goes, what? And this is 1998, or late 1998. Al said that there was a moment of silence, and he said, you're not going to start another fucking TGP, are you? And this is in 1998, you know, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, like, there's probably only 100 really deep, 100 good sites around, TGPs around then, and I'm, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to be one of these guys up there with Bizarro and Al and Persian Kitty and Greeny and Tommy, and I'm going to be one of the boys, you know, and I'm all hepped up, gung-ho, and here's Al telling me, not another fucking TGP, you know. So I got quite a kick out of that. I said, well, yeah, I am. I said, I'm going to start one. I said, you know. But anyway, he eventually came around, and he sent me some galleries of his. He wanted me to list. So I knew when Al4A was sending me galleries that he wanted me to list on my site that I finally made it.
So where are you these days on traffic-wise?
About 100,000. 100,000 uniques. That's the main page. We've got about 80 category pages, maybe 90. Each one of those gets between 1,000 and 3,000 a day. So I guess overall we're up there. I know my server bill's still pretty high. I mean, I guess we're probably sending. I'll go a wild guess. Okay, we're probably sending about 700,000-800,000 hits out to galleries. You know, because each surfer will hit a lot more than one gallery, so in that area somewhere. I don't know, it's down about it's well below half what it used to be, that's for sure. It's got to be maybe in about a third of what it used to be, you know, in the heyday. But of course, you know, I mean, we could always change that. I could become a tube site tomorrow and you know, steal 3-hour long movies and, you know, put them on there and get all that traffic back. But, you know,
that's worthless traffic.
Don't want to do it. Well, you know, it's always about, you know, I mean, I come from the TGP side, so I understand what it's like to use people's content as your content and then sell advertising on the site. I mean, that's really the whole reason for the whole thing. I mean, we did it with TGPs. It was just the TGP people had a much better handle on it. They did, they none of us were going to put galleries of 300 pictures on it, okay, just for the sake of doing it, you know. The tubes lost total control. In my opinion, the tubes, and the big tubes, are out of control. They lost total control. They could have put 2, 3, 4 minute clips on there. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all, but when you start putting full-length movies on there and thousands of them, yeah, I do have a problem with that. I think that's overkill to the max, you know.
No, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a conversation on one of the boards one time. There are actually movies. I think most people know. I my own personal sites, other than the TGPs, are all. Well, a lot of them are in the retro vintage niche, and I've been promoting that since I started because it's something that I'm familiar with being so fucking old, you know. So I'm very familiar with that, and I have 3 or 4 you know decent sites all of that niche. There are actually videos that there are on tube sites that I have never been able to buy, are not for sale, that are absolutely exclusive to certain companies that made them in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, that you could see complete categories, full-length videos on all the major tubes. I can't even compete with them if I tried. I can't even buy these movies. I can't legally compete with them, you know. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you talk about knocking the crap out of your business. You know, your guy's giving away stuff for free that even if you wanted to buy, you can't buy it. You know? Holy smokes.
Yeah, I'm just keeping hoping the tubes die, but they don't seem to be, I don't know. I just don't see what is sustainable.
Jesus, it's been 3 or 4 years now, and they're still hanging in there. I honestly don't see it changing. I really don't. What the hell is going to have to happen to change that? I don't know. They're offshore. They don't follow any rules. No, there's a lot of good tube sites out there that have, you know, that I think are responsible and have the sponsor supply. I have no problem if a sponsor wants to give somebody a 7-8 minute clip. No problem. I could care less. That's great. No problem at all.
There's legit tubes out there. That's not
absolutely.
The problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No problem at all. But when I start seeing total collections of content that you know, with 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50, 1 hour, you know, I'm seeing a lot of stuff on there that I wouldn't even know how to buy. I don't believe it's available, and it has kicked the shit out of a lot of pay sites. But you know what? It hasn't hurt the TGPs as much as it hurts the pay sites, because they don't compete with me anymore. They compete with the pay sites. Who the hell is going to pay $30 a month for a membership, right? When you can get almost all the porn you want for free. Just look around, a few clicks here or there. Well, you know, site A may not have it today. Tube B may not have it, but I'll try tube C. So the surfers are all doing that, and they're not bringing their credit cards out. You know, and a lot of it's self-induced. Not just the tubes; they don't want to bring their credit cards out because people were screwing them over by hitting them 3 times when they bought a membership. You know, ridiculous.
I was surprised that you liked your recip by itself on your galleries. You don't really see the value of recips on your galleries?
Oh, I do, but I just when let me tell you, I'll tell you the whole story.
Okay.
The biggest thing that hurt me in the last 10 years was e-passport going down. Okay, I think I had somewhat like 200. Regular submitters paying me per month to submit using ePassport. After ePassport folded, those 200 disappeared, and out of those 200, I don't think I got 30 back. Hard to believe. Because a lot of those gallery submitters were in Eastern Europe, various parts of the world, can't get credit cards. They really relied on PayPal, wouldn't look at them. They really got hammered. Okay, so now I'm thinking, holy shit, I got no galleries. I get no submits from my, you know, I'm getting a few, you know, obviously like yourself and a few of the American folks and the Canadian people and that. But you got to remember, the gallery business is very worldwide. It's all over the map. There's people from all over, and the great majority of it's from Europe, you know, Asia, a lot of it. So right away, I got a huge void. I'm trying to put out a daily page every day of fresh links. All of a sudden, I just lost 150 webmasters. that were regular submitters, right? So I thought, oh my, what am I going to do to get this back, right? Well, nothing really, you know, a few went to PAX, and we did a few small things to get some back, but I lost huge amounts of galleries coming in. So I thought, well, I'll sit down, what the hell can I do to make people submit galleries again, to make it easiest thing possible for me? I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to let them submit sponsored galleries with no recip on them. I'm going to charge them for it.
Okay. Right? Okay.
And that's what I did. So, because I supported very, very few affiliate programs, right? I don't, my site's not full of galleries for me. They're pretty much almost exclusively, with the exception of a few that my wife submits occasionally, those galleries are all from gallery submitters, right? Like, there's only a few on there, maybe a handful. And really, it only, if I have a day when I don't get enough links to fill the page, I'll put a few affiliates in. But always the ones that the people pay for are always at the top of the page. So I really let my submitters, you know, worry about that. So I thought, well, you know, a little bonus to them. If they want to slip me another $10 a month, no problem. I'll let them, they can submit galleries with no recips back on it. So we've been doing that. You know, has it been successful? A little bit. I probably only have about 10 or 12 submitters that take advantage of that. Not a lot. So it got me a little bit more business, not as much as I had hoped. Overall, it's a good option. I mean, I'm a lazy bugger. I know that's what I would do. If I was submitting galleries, I hate doing galleries. I mean, I've hated it since day one, yet I do it every day. You know, I still submit a one gallery every day, even though I can't stand doing it. I didn't, 2 days after I started back in 1998, I hated it. I could tell. It's almost as bad as submitting link free sites.
I do both.
I know you do. I know you do. Well, I had to get a shot of there for free sites. You know.
That's I thought you liked you. I didn't realize you even accepted no recip galleries. I thought you just liked your recip by itself in the gallery. I misunderstood.
No, it's I've been doing that now for almost a year, and it, you know, I did it right after ePassword folded, because ePassword was such a shock to everybody. You know, I mean, I literally had people, I just disappeared off the face of the earth after that. I don't know. And a lot of my business was ePassport. I mean, good, bad, or otherwise, you can say what you like about it. From spring of 2003 to last summer, it was pretty reasonable. I mean, yeah, it wasn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect shipping money around the internet. Or, there's always going to be some little snags here. But for the most part, they weren't too bad, you know. Then when all hell broke loose late last summer, or I think it was September, you know, that really changed it. You know, that really changed it for me, because my cash flow went down significantly and never really returned on the gallery side. Only now we're starting to get back. I think I had 100. I listed 100 fresh galleries yesterday. That's probably the most I've listed in a few months. I used to be able to do 250 a day, and fresh, brand new galleries, right? So we're down. I think 100 now is considered pretty damn good. So. I was pretty happy with that, because actually the gallery business has gone up a little bit, you know, since February, March. I actually have more galleries now submitted than I did a year ago, but say last fall after the ePassport fiasco. So, you know, let's hope it keeps going. Because, you know, there's still money, as you know, Cleo, there's still money to be made.
I'm doing a lot better these days, actually.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, things have picked up. I'm surprised Paximin hasn't filled the void for you.
Who?
Paximin, yeah.
Well, I have a fair bit of Paximin, but I still have nowhere near the number I had with ePassport. I mean, we built that up. I remember getting my very first card in early 2003. I had 7 solid years of growth with getting web. And of course, so many affiliate programs were paying. It was so simple, right? You know, the affiliate would get the money from the sponsor, you know, with his payment, and then he'd just take his $40 or his $60 or his $90, whatever, flip me a payment once a month, keep submitting galleries. It was nice. It was like a never-ending. It was never-ending. It was just going on and on and on, right? Once the ePassport went down, the affiliates, you know, weren't getting their money, or they had no way of getting, you know, the people had no way of paying. It was a real cluster there for a long time, you know. But Paxson's filled the gap. That's the one I use the most of all the other ones. It's filled the gap, but it's still not as widely used as ePassport was used. No, not even close yet, but it's getting there. Maybe in a few more years they'll have that kind of market share. Let's face it, ePassport had a huge market share. Huge.
Yeah, I'm really happy with Paxson, and it seems to be better than ePassport ever was.
Yeah, works for me. I haven't had any problems with them at all.
No, none at all. They've been great.
Yeah.
I don't worry about them running off my money either. Although I don't leave any money in there either.
That was the other thing, you know. I mean, that whole thing with ePass, I'm not sure any of us really know what the hell happened for sure. I mean, there's a lot of speculation. If it was a scam, it was a fantastic scam. It lasted for 7 years. I don't think it was. I just really think down the end of it, there's a few things we really don't know. Whether it was their involvement with gambling. I don't believe that Mr. Malik took that money and made a movie with it. I just don't believe that. I'd have to be hard pressed. I met the man. I've had dinner with the guy. I mean, you know, he may be a used car salesman, but I don't think he's that way out there that he would actually take thousands of people's money and make a movie with it. I don't know. I'd have to see that to believe it. But we never really did find out what the reason was for whether it was Visa that closed it down, whether it was the bank that closed it down. We really don't ever know. So maybe someday we'll find out. I'd like to find out. I'd be curious.
I knew something was coming up when I stopped being able to use my Visa to load funds into my passport.
Never good. Yeah,
I knew something was up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all of us were hopeful that meant nothing, but as it turned out, you know, it's just too bad. I guess we should all react quickly to bad news, and most of us didn't react anywhere near quick enough. So, but to be fair, I had, I think when it went down, I had about $5,000 or $6,000 in there, maybe $7,000, and I got almost all of it out. I mean, I didn't get the stuff. I never used the wallet anyway. See, I never use the wallet. I try to get my money out fairly quickly, you know, in and out. But so all my money was on the Visa side. So, you know, other than the cost of a few transfers and stuff, I think I got most of it out. Malik probably got a little bit of my cash. I think I got one or two payments after somebody sent me money after I couldn't access it. I might have $300 outstanding, but you know, out of $7,000 and over a period of 6 or 7 years, we used it. You know, it wasn't bad. I've had worse experiences with processors, I'll tell you. You know, far worse. Back when I first started, I had, I came into business and I had pay sites. I had all these pay sites out there, and of course, it was so deadly simple to get a processor then. You could basically just put your name and address down, and you could take Visa and MasterCard back in the say, 97, 98. Well, one day I woke up and I couldn't access my credit card account where I was supposed to go. Well, of course, it was a company called Cypro, and you know, they were saying, "Oh, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll have your money a little bit." Well, they just shut up shop and took all my cash. I think I lost $10,000 on that. Well, you know, we've been in the business about 6 months, and here I'd already lost $10,000 on a credit card deal. They just closed up and took all my billing with them, money I was supposed to get for four or five different sites for a month. And I thought, well, that's not very freaking good. Then I was in Canada, so I couldn't get CC Bill wouldn't deal with us, or Paycom wouldn't let us have merchant accounts because we weren't in the U.S. So that was a real pain in the ass. So that's when I went into AVS sites. I said, you know what, I'm converting all my pay sites to AVS sites, and I'll let the AVS company worry about it. I'm still doing that.
Yeah, actually, I have someone asking me if you accept galleries promoting AVS sites.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, pretty much you don't really care what people are promoting as long as it's legal, right?
No, I don't mind at all. No, as long as the gallery meets my very very easy standards, you know. What constitutes a gallery nowadays? Well, what? Not much. Maybe 10 pics and, you know, a little bit of verbiage, maybe some kind of link to your sign-up page or to your tour, whatever you want, or you can have a 1 minute video clip and a couple pics if you want, or just a 1 minute video clip even.
And you accept blogs too.
I even take blogs. I get to use just rules of business. I mean, Christ, I don't know what more I can do other than submit them for people. I don't know what more I can do. You know, I even take an average blog as long as your picture opens to a little bit bigger picture, not to some goddamn pop-up hell where you can't get out of it. I mean, I'm pretty much taking everything these days, you know?
Yeah, that's Yeah, I also accept blogs.
Yeah, I do. I take blog. I mean, what I call, which would be a blog gallery, which is like, it's a basic blog setup. And you can have your links down the side. I don't care. I really don't care how many links you got down the side. I never did care. In all honesty, you know these TGP sites that used to allow you 2 out links and 120 pictures. Well, that's a pile of crap. It was a pile of crap in 2000. The pile of crap in 2004, it's the pile of crap now. That's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, so I don't care. You're going to have some links down the side of your blog or your gallery to some other links. That's fine. This is my very, very simple. If you're using Company A's content, you know, they're providing some pictures, at least do justice to Company A, right? At least get a fair chance of, you know, trying to use their content to make a sale for them. Right? For you and for them.
Mm-hmm.
What I can't stand and what I don't like is somebody using content for one company and then all the links go to another tour for another company. That's ridiculous. You know, and don't think I don't check that. I check it all the time. Right? I try to keep an eye on that kind of stuff and I don't like it. You know, you're using this guy's content, but you're using it to support another sponsor. Why that crap? You know, I don't like it.
Yeah, that's you're the only TGP that I buy gallery spots. No one else.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
I've let all my others. Yours works for me. All the others became crap.
Well, I think we do list the galleries. I mean, I don't mess around. If you submit a gallery to me, I'm going to list it. It lists the next day, so you're going to know when it's going to be on. We have good fetish. Female, tranny, you know, whatever kind of hairy. We have some real good fetish traffic on the site as well. So, you know, I mean, it's not just, it's a multi-site. We do all the different categories. But, it's a whole lot more than the teen site or a whole lot more than the hardcore site. We have a lot of good stuff on there that, we do get a lot. I look at the numbers of people that check the categories in IR. You know, it's not just MILFs and amateurs on there. There's a lot of stuff going to bondage and fetishes and all sorts of cool stuff. And I think even MP mentioned the medium pimping on the board the other day. You know, his traffic went up significantly when he started sending shemale blogs to us, right? And I believe that. I absolutely believe that. He gets the same spot you guys get. He doesn't get anything special, even though my board's hosted there, right? They get the same spots, that the regular submitters get.
Speaking
nothing special.
Speaking of shemale, I've never understood. Under your pick section, you have both, yeah. I think, shemale and transsexual.
Yeah, exactly. There's a good reason for that.
Yeah. I've never been able to figure that out.
I suppose you want to hear. Well, because in the old days, we allowed 2 galleries a day, right? Each webmaster could submit 2 galleries per day. But
okay.
they couldn't put 2 in the same category.
Ah.
That was the rule.
Ah, okay.
So the old chump got smart and said, well, you know what? Let's make a shemale category and a tranny category. Because some people, that's all they did exclusively, right? They're shemale experts or tranny experts. They didn't do shemales and teens or shemales and mills. It's just shemale. So I said, okay, well, you put 1 in shemale, 1 in tranny. And you know what? It worked. So, I mean, that's fine. There's really no difference. I mean, you tell me. I've never been able to figure out the difference. So.
I can't tell the difference.
Some people prefer that name, tranny, and some people... When I first started, it was transsexuals, right? That was a category name. And then people started to submit shemale galleries using shemales. And I thought, well, you know, what the Christ is that? Isn't that the same? And I said, well, you know. So we use tranny, we use shemale. We have one for each, so, you know.
Okay. Yeah, whenever I'm I do a lot of shemale
stuff. But
it was
basically because we used to allow them to submit 2 galleries. We still do allow 2 galleries a day to be submitted. And they wanted to take advantage of that. And... But I didn't want both shemales. I don't like everybody to submit. Say you've got an account with me. I really don't like if you got a 3 gallery a day account. I really don't like you just to have all 3 teen galleries per day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd rather have you can do a teen. You can do a teeny. Maybe you can do a mill for an amateur or something. But to me, putting 3 galleries all the same category in the same TGP in the same day is just competing against yourself. Don't understand it. But a lot of people do it. And what's really bad is when they do 3 with the same per person in it. That I really don't understand. You know? I'm going, holy smokes, you got 3 spots here. You're going to give me 3. You're going to give me 3 galleries with the same girl in each one. And I go, God, that's dumb.
Now,
but hey,
you have
I don't care. I list them. I mean, it's up, really up to the submitter. If he thinks he can, if he thinks that's gonna work, fair game. You know, let it go. I'm not gonna. I made my mind up long ago. I'm not gonna tell people what to do. You know, what categories to submit. So I guess overall, we probably slackened that kind of stuff over the years. And, you know, totally up to the submitter. I mean, you got to look at your results. You know, if you're making money doing one thing, then just do more of that. If you're not, then try something else.
Well, I think submitters have gotten a lot better. I mean, I remember years ago, the submitters were terrible. And
terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Now they know what they're doing.
I think so, too. We get very few errors now, I got to say. You know, it used to be a full-time job going through your submits and checking everything out. But now, I think the people that are left now, and even the new people now, but certainly the people that have been doing it and have been around long enough, there's very little problem with most galleries now. They actually look at it before they submit it. They check it out. And I don't get, you know, you used to get a lot of dead links. You used to get a lot of bad stuff on that. But, you know, it's good. It's a lot better than it used to be.
Now, you... What percentage of your traffic would you say is bookmarkers, traffic trades, search engine?
Oh, let's see. Search engine is about, can't be much more than it. Must be about 15%, 15-18%. Maybe as low as 12%. So it fluctuates. It's up and down. Traffic trading's way down. We don't, you know, traffic trading got so bad. I mean, we still traffic trade, but nothing like the old days. You know, I used to get 40,000 hits a day from ClickHunter. You know, I used to get, you know, it was just from WorldSex, I used to get, you know, 30,000, 40,000 hits a day from those guys. I mean, I think our top trade now is under 5,000 a day, and I think that's probably not even unique, it's probably raw. So I think overall traffic trading, we're probably, I've really lowered, there's no scam on my main page, you know, the daily links.
Mm-hmm.
We don't skim on that. So every hit goes to a gallery on that. I do skim up to 10% on the archives, the stuff that's old. You know, it's the old galleries. I think the first 10 or so on the page, there's no skim, or the first 6 are on the page, there's no skim on that. After that, I think we take about 10% and send that off to trade. So I'm thinking probably, maybe 25% total, maybe 20% total. You know, by far the most of the traffic goes to the daily page, right? The archives, you know, they don't get anywhere near the traffic that the. In other words, your gallery will get way more traffic the first day or two it's listed than it will in subsequent days. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's what percentages of people submit, say, movies versus pictures these days?
Well, 60-40 for pictures.
I still do really well with picture galleries.
Yeah, so do I. And I guess I'm really old and really, really old school. But to me, I used to. The rule of thumb back when I first started was, well, we'll give them a few pictures for free. If they want movies, they got to pay. I kind of go for that. Although, you know, I'm a picture fan too, and I, you know, you get there's some really good artwork out there now. You know, you look at some of these galleries out there, and the artwork is from the sites, or you know, the picture quality. The photography is very, very good. I mean, there's some real pro stuff out there. You take a look at the babes and the model sites and that. Not stuff I normally promote, but I do get a lot of people sending me their galleries. You know, it's extremely, extremely good quality pictures. I mean, you know, it's very good. Plus, you know, from a surfer's point of view, you know, it's instant. He sees the picture. You know, he can download it real quick. He can flip it. He can change it. He can crop it. He can blow up the boobs if he wants. He can do whatever he wants. It's a lot harder to do that with a movie. You know, you can't do that as easy with a movie. But with a picture, you know, it's you can fixate it on that pretty good if you're into it. So, you know. I'm old school, you know. Basically, you know, I come from the generation where, you know, pre-internet. So if you wanted to see porn, you went to the porn shop. You know, in the front of the porn shop, you had some magazines. A lot of them were in jackets, but there was a lot of ones that were already open. If you wanted to go, there was a video room in the back where you used to put tokens or quarters in, and that was an automatic money maker. Nobody got a free clip of nobody got a free pick at a Super 8 or 16mm clip. You had to put a quarter in before you got your 30 seconds worth, right? And in the front of the store, there was some freebies. The guys would read a few magazines to get them going, then they'd all go in the back room and fill it up with quarters and tokens, you know? That was the way it was, you know? Yeah. Get them interested up front and then make the money in the back.
Yeah, that's it's kind of still what we try to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, that was the plan. Now the other way, and I I understand fully what the other sites now do, and what other TGPs did too. In other words, we use the content that we're given as a draw. You become a destination point for people every day to come in to check you out. And then while they're checking out the galleries, you've got banners floating around. You've got dating sites. You're trying to sell something, right? You're trying to tell them something. Oh, you're hoping that while they're at your site, they're going to see a banner, they're going to see a pop, or they're going to see some kind of a link they might follow and maybe make some money off that. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself going in this? Just continue doing about the same thing you're doing, or?
It's really business has changed so much in the last 3 years. It really has. I mean, I'd be a liar. I tell you that I'm satisfied with the way things are because I'm not. But it's really hard for me to get back anywhere near to myself and a few guys. We used to be considered, when I used to go to a show, I was almost, this is going to sound really bad, but, when I was used to go to a show, or even Greeny and those guys would go to a show, people would come and seek us out,
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm sure I could walk through a show now and nobody knew who the hell I was, but that's how business has changed, I had an opportunity to open a tube site 4 years ago. I just didn't like it. I wasn't going to do it. And I was adamant about it. I won't even trade traffic with a tube site. That's me. I won't do it. I just don't believe that was good for the building when you steal other people's movies. And I to this day I believe that the original twos were all started with pilfered content. I don't like it. I don't think they should be rewarded for it. But I'm a voice in the wind here. It's slowly taking over. I mean, these guys are getting 10 million hits a day. I mean, 10 million uniques a day now. It's pretty impressive, and more than one site. So they've dominated. They're dominating the traffic the way TGPs used to dominate the traffic. Even more so, because you take the amount of traffic that goes through the tubes now, it's more than we ever have, and growing as far as I can tell. So that's fine. Myself, I don't know. I'm still profitable. I'm still doing okay. I don't have staff anymore. I got rid of them long ago. It's just me. My server bill's reasonable. We're still profitable. Would I like to make 50 grand a month like I used to? Yeah, I would. But am I happy with 15 grand a month now? Yeah, I guess I have to be.
So in 2 or 3 years, you're pretty much just hoping to keep them plugging along the same as you are now.
Well, I am indeed, and also too, I'm 61. I'll be 61 this year, so I'm a pensionable age. Who knows? I had an offer to sell the site. Not too long ago, 60 days, 90 days, 2 or 3 months ago, I got a reasonable offer to sell, and I thought about it, and the offer was okay. It was all right. I thought, maybe a year, maybe 18 months income. I thought I could sell, but what am I going to do 18 months from now when I burn through that, So, I think I'm going to keep plugging away. I have other way. I mean, my AVS sites are okay. They're still doing all right. I thought about other stuff. I thought about buying a couple of sites too, and I thought, why buy somebody else's headache? They're not that good. There's only a handful of sites I would really like to get, buy, and most of them aren't for sale. I don't know. I think it's just more of the same for me. I'm going to still, I always had an idea that I would open something like a super TGP with every gallery with 50 pages, but with 50 or plus pictures. But I thought to myself, that's probably a dumb idea. You're not going to make any, for the gallery submitter's point of view, you're not going to make any more sales on a gallery with 30 pictures than you would with 10 or 12 pictures. So get your head out of your ass. Quit trying to give away more content. Smarten up. And I think you gotta learn right now. You gotta learn in a down economy. You have to learn how to save money as much as how to make money. You have to look at what you're making, and you have to kind of live towards it. So, I generally once a year I go to my host and I say I want a much better deal than on my hosting. I try to cut expenses as much as I can. I I know they probably think I'm a pain in the ass, but it's just the way it is. You know, I'm using nowhere near the bandwidth I was using. I mean, my bandwidth bill used to be $7,000 a month back in 2001. I mean, you better make it or you wouldn't. You were toast, right? You couldn't have too many bad days. I remember, forget my first gallery I ever submitted. This is honest to God truth. First gallery I ever submitted cost me $85 in bandwidth, and I made $15 in click-through revenue. This goes back to late 97, early 98. And my very first gallery, it was on one of the very big sites. I don't want to mention it, but it was one of the top three or four sites out there. $85 in bandwidth, because bandwidth was $9 or $10 a gig. And this thing burned huge freaking bandwidth, at least what I thought. And on my click-through revenue on it, I was like $15. So I thought, well, this isn't a good way to make money. I gotta have to figure out what the hell I did wrong here. And of course, I soon figured it out. We soon were able to, bandwidth prices started to plummet. We were able to put out more content. One of the biggest things for gallery people too, and I know you're pretty good at it, and most of the pros are, is you just can't hit and miss gallery submit. You've got to have gallery day every day.
Oh yeah.
I told that to people for years, you know. Good God, don't be taking the weekends off. Weekends are good. You've got to have, for God's sake, get something on. I mean, I don't know when the surfers are going to buy. Certain days in the month, they seem busier than others. And the days that are busier, I want to have a fresh gallery out there. I want to have some fresh content out there. I don't know why that is, but I want to have, every day, I want to have something on that internet, on the net that's new and different that I didn't have yesterday. So every day I have an opportunity to make money. I don't want to submit today on Tuesday and then my gallery list on Wednesday and then not again until Saturday. You know, it doesn't work that way. That's for sure. That's the one thing I tell people all the time. You pay for a monthly fee to submit. Try to get something on every day of the week. And if it means you got to get up 5 minutes earlier and send me one freaking gallery on a Saturday morning, you know, you're better off to do that than not to have a gallery out that day.
What categories are you most popular? Someone's asking which galleries get the most clickouts.
Amateurs.
Amateurs?
Yep. Yeah. Housewife. That kind of stuff is the most popular for the most amount of people. Now, I can't tell you which ones make the most money for the submitters. That I'm not too sure. Just let me look at the page for a second. Just pull it up here. Just take me one sec. I got it here somewhere. I'm going down the list here. Yeah, amateur babe, amateur hardcore, you know, housewife, mature, MILF. Those are all real popular. Either movies or pictures. Pictures get slightly more for me still, because I guess this is because my site is just developed that way. But I still get a little bit more, slightly more picture traffic than I do movie traffic. But again, that's I'm not saying that's internet wide. I'm saying that's just my old site that we developed solely for pictures.
I see the same thing at the sites I run.
Yeah.
That's I have a tremendous amount of shemale traffic, but pictures definitely are more popular in my stuff than movies.
Yep. See, there you go. There you go. That holds true with me too. Maybe that's the way it's going to end. Maybe we'll just become the bearers. We'll become the people keeping the torch for pictures, and the tubes will be the people that keep the torch for movies. And maybe that's what we need to do more, is promote quality pictures. You know, and because I still like pictures.
I prefer pictures myself.
So do I.
I don't like waiting for a movie to load and just.
I don't either. I don't like it either. I don't like it, how it stops. I don't like it slows down or I don't know. A picture is a picture. It's instant, and I say you can do a lot with it. You can get a nice collection of pictures. Movies are a pain in the ass. However, I understand too, the whole generation of people of the YouTube generation just loves this stuff. So, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that the pictures still won't draw, still won't sell, still aren't very powerful medium. I mean, people still, I mean, my God, look at the advertising and magazines and papers and that. It's still not bad. I mean, you know, I guess the best years may be behind us on that, but it's still popular. You know, there's still billboards around, and maybe someday there'll be video billboards inside the highway. I don't know, but in the meantime, there's still pictures. A good picture is still very, 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 very powerful. You know?
It's been an hour. That was, went by quick.
That was quick. That was quick.
That was quick. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add tonight? Or?
Oh, no, other than, you know, you, I think people know where to find me. I mean, I got my own forum, the Shemp Business Forum, on Medium Pimp and Board. So I know you post there, and I don't think you, hope you'll mind me mention that.
No, no, I enjoy the Medium Pimp and Board.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I still hang around your board occasionally. I have to answer questions if people, you know, chase me down or there's something I think that's pertinent there. I guess the good news is the business isn't dead. We're still surviving. I see all my old friends that have been around, you know, for the almost 13 or 14 years that I've been doing this. I see them still around. I still see Persian Kitty around, you know. I still see Snake around. I still see, you know, Greeny around, Tommy. We're still here, folks.
We're still here.
We're still here. Cleo, you know. We're still plugging away. We still are somewhat relevant in a crazy world that's gone loopy. I mean, you've got so many things wrong now. You've got a terrible economy out there. I don't care what anybody says. Terrible economy. You know, you've got people there. You've got so many credit card issues. You've got people that, you know, barely, you're looking at their thing. Am I going to buy food, or I guess that porn membership, am I going to be able to renew? You've got a whole bunch of people that screwed up people that were buying porn memberships because they fucked them around by banging their cards like there was no tomorrow. You've got some kind of consolidation going on. Now, I'm an engineer. I'm all over consolidation. I love consolidation. I think it's great. But you got to beware that consolidation doesn't completely engulf the whole industry and, you know, leave us with nothing. So that's another thing we've got our eye on, you know. You have one company here that's getting bigger by leaps and bounds day by day. And I got into this business because I didn't like, you know, I didn't like the corporate world, but now we have a corporate porn world. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, you got a company out of Montreal. They're buying up everything they can buy. Sasses is no tomorrow. And I think one of the funniest things one time I ever read was Paul Markham talking about how many bathrooms they had in their hit office. And, oh my God, it just blew me away. I mean, you could carry the corporate part too far. I don't know. I never ever thought about that. You know, wondering about whether the washroom functionality in the head office in Montreal was up to industrial standards. I that's it for me, folks. I thought that's too much. I'm gonna. I think I'll just go back and submit some galleries.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the opportunity. It's great. Enjoyed good talking with you too, and keep plugging with your sites. I'm going to keep plugging on mine. I'm going to 61 in November. I think I'll probably hang around for a few more years here. But who knows? I may decide to get up the golf clubs and just.
This is not a bad business for retirement. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, I can. I mean, in all honesty. Let's face it, I mean, this is the one business I can do, you know, it's great. I can get up my own hours, I can, my own time. No employer would put up with my shenanigans, you know, so, you know, I can do this, I can plug away when I need to, I can play around and do other stuff when I want, and, you know, it's okay. And as I say, for me, you know, at my age, I need less and less toys than I used to, so maybe that's the answer, you know, just take what's out there and enjoy it, you know.
Okay, well.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you, Cleo. Take care.
Okay, bye. Well, that was Rob from Shrimp, and that concludes our show for tonight. I thank you all for coming, and I look forward to next week. Bye now.